Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soita Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Chof Ches. The opening issue of the Gemara is a point that we discussed in our previous shiur when we learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah teaches at the very beginning that the waters of the Sota check not only the woman, but also the man, the paramour. And that is based on what the Mishnah says, Shinema Uvo Uvo. And what we want to know is the expression Uvo Uvo as being the source for the double checking. Is that derived from the repetition of the word Bo? Or is that from the fact that there's a Vov attached to the word, which is the basis of darshaning something extra, something additional? So is it the double, the repetition of the word, or the vav? The Gemara. Shinemar uvo uvo, ibayaloho. Here the Gemara asks, bo uvo komar, meaning the inclusion of the paramour, is it from the fact that there is a vav on the word uvo oi uvo uvo komar, or from the fact that the word bo appears several times? Toshma. The triangles that you see here are explained on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading. These are Nisyonos, attempts, Lifshot HaSheila, to resolve the question, Haim HaTanakam DeMasnis Ndoresh Vovi O Kfilus Binyan HaMokur DeGam HaBoyol Nivdak. Is it through the presence of the Vov, representing something extra, or the repetition of the word, giving ground for darshaning, for discovering something extra? So now we continue in the Gemara. Ta Shema, Kishem Sha'asura Labal Kach Asura Lapoel. Just like the Sota woman, a married woman who engaged in illicit relations, is prohibited to continue living with her husband, she's likewise usur, she's prohibited from marrying the Boel, the paramour. Shenemar Nitma'a v'nitma'a. We would think to conclude from here that Rabbi Akiva is darshaning the vav. Vadayan tiboi. But the question still remains. Nitma'a v'nitma'a komar is the emphasis on the vav. Oi nitma'a nitma'a komar, or is the emphasis on the repetition of the word nitma'a? Toshma midikotoni seifa. We'll try to figure out what Rabbi Akiva, who was the author of the Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, through that which Rebbe, who appears in the Mishnah, disagreeing with Rabbi Akiva. So through the eyes of Rebbe, we will be able to reflect upon Rabbi Akiva. What does it say in the Seifa, in the continuation of the Mishnah? Rebbe Omer, Shnei Pomim Amurim Parsha V'nitmo V'nitmo. From the fact that the word v'nitma is repeated several times, echad lebaal v'echad leboil, we learn through that the woman is prohibited not only to her husband, but to the paramour as well. And we say, well, prohibited to the paramour, meaning after the husband divorces her, she cannot go ahead and marry the paramour. Michlal, so we can infer from this, the Rebbe Akiva vavi kadorish, whereas Rebbe is Rebbe Yudah Nossi, whereas he discovered the reference to the two men through the repetition of the word, Rebbe Akiva, who appears in the Mishnah before Rebbe, he had a different approach. He darshaned, he explained the inclusion of the boil through the presence of the word, of the letter Vav. Now, that having been said, Hilkoch l'Rebbi Akiva, Shisa Kroi Ksivi. When you take, let's say, stock of how many words you have available to Darshan, you actually have then six possibilities of drosha. I want to say six words, but technically speaking, you have the word uvo three times, and each one of those words, uvo, has a vov attached to it. So that if you look in the Rashi, on the upper part of the narrow lines, shisa kroi, shloshu uvo ksuvim shom. There are three times the word uvo appears, and Rashi cites them, ubo hamayim hamorim, ho'ele b'meach latzvois beten. That's one appearance of the word. So that teaches us, lohodia lanu de beten v'odar yerech. That's to tell us how the curse will manifest itself, in which order first the belly will bloat and then the legs will fall down. Shelo lehotzi las gamrina perakama, so as to not cast any aspersions, because when the curse is issued, the curse makes reference first to the yerech and then to the beten, but the way the water checks out is through its normal path into her body. First belly and then legs. V'chad, another drosha word, v'hishka eso isha esmei hamorim, hamorim uvo bo hamayim. That's in Pasuk Chav Dalet. Again, you see the word uvo, le'tzavo'o, shakodesh bochu goyzer shiavo bo hamayim lemorim. The Almighty rules that the water shall have its effect. V'chad, and a third uvo, v'hishka es hamayim voisa imitma uvo bo hamayim. That's in Pasuk Chav Zayin. Rashi continues, La'asiyah, what does La'asiyah mean? Kan, hodia, hakosuf. Here the Torah informs us, Kan, hodia, hakosuf, es Yisrael. The Torah informs the Jewish people, D'maftiach, lohen, shivdeku amayim, that the water is guaranteed to work. Ubekulam, ksivi, ksiv, vov, yeseri. And in each one of these words, you noticed there was a vov. So that gives us not only the three root words, bo'u, but the vav's also another three times for a total of six drushes. By going through the Rashi, we discovered the meanings of the words tzavo and asiya, and we had also Yedia. Why six drushes? So now we turn to the Gemara. The Gemara just told us that according to Rabbi Kiva, there are six psukim to darshan. And as we explained, three times the word bo and three times the vov that appears with each word. Chad litzavo dida, v'chad litzavo didei. And as we explained in the Rashi, tzavo is the Almighty. Was mitzavah, the mighty commanded that the water shall have its effect. One with regard to the woman, and one with regard to the him, paramour. Chad la'asiyo dida, v'chad la'asiyo didei. One is the haftocha, the promise, the guarantee that the water will be effective. That's will be effective with regard to the woman and with regard to the paramour. And chad liyidia dida v'chad liyidia didei, and the last two drushes are for the hodah. That's the informing of the order of the, we'll say, the curse taking place. First the belly, and then the yerech, the legs. One, and each time one was, as you might recall, the expression of his and hers. That's what you have in each one. The Rebbe Tlosa Kroi Ksivi. Rebbe, who doesn't darshan the Vav, so that each one of the words is a reference to the woman. Chad litzavo, v'chad la'asiyo, v'chad liyadiyo. The Gemara now turns its attention to Rebbe and asks, for Rebbe, k'shem shemayim boikin o'isa, kach boikin o'so minole, where does Rebbe learn the his and hers aspect, that just like the water checks her out, reveals her guilt, the water will reveal the paramour's guilt as well. Where does Rebbe learn that from? He doesn't darshan the Vavs. Nafgale midesanya. He learns that from the following source. The pasuk says, "Latzbois beten v'lan pil yerech, bitno v'yerechel shaboyo." The pasuk describes the bloating of the belly. Doesn't say, there's no gender reference here. It says beten. Doesn't say whose beten. Lan pil yerech doesn't say whose yerech. So the source says it's a reference to the boyel's belly and legs. You say it's a reference to the paramour. Maybe it's a reference to hers. Keshuomer pasuk chav zayin says vitzofso bitnov enofli yerecha. That's in the feminine form. Hare bitnov yerecha shel niveles amur. There you see her belly and legs refer to. So then what do I do with the pasuk that didn't indicate gender? Pasuk chof beis. But no, v'yerecho shaboyel. It's then a reference to his belly and legs. Ve'idoch. Now what about Rebbe Akiva and the psukim we just cited in the source? Ahu demoda la kayen. The purpose of Latzbeis Beten V'lan B'yerech is that the Kohen shall inform her the Beten B'resha V'hodar Yorech. First belly, then legs are afflicted. And why is it important for the Kohen to inform her that when the curse comes to be, it's in that order? So that people will not cast aspersions on these waters when they heard, when the initial curse was mentioned. First reference was made to legs and then belly, so people, when they see the effects of the water, first belly and then legs, shouldn't think that there's some kind of a mistake over here or that the waters are not really accurate. Therefore, you need the Kohen to inform that when it comes to the manifestation of the curse, it will be in this order: first belly, then legs. V'idach Rebbe imkein lichtov kro. If the only purpose of the pasuk is to tell me what the Rabbanan, what Rabbi Kiva claims is order, so state it in the feminine form: her belly, her legs. My beten v'yerech. Why is it stated in the unqualified form, simply belly, legs, without a gender reference? Shmamino laboel. The fact that it's presented in this this generic form, it indicates the boil, the paramour. V'emo kule lahachi hudasa. Should we suggest that maybe the whole purpose of the pasuk is for that alone, that the boil is affected, nothing to do with order? In Cain, lichto bitno v'yerecho. If the whole purpose was to simply refer to his being checked out, Then let the pasuk write it in with a gender form: his belly, his legs. My beten v'yerech. Why is it presented in the unqualified generic form? Shma mino tarti. It reveals to us that we can derive two points, namely the boil is also, the paramour is also cursed, plus the order of, plus the issue of order: first belly, then legs. Omar Rabbi Yoshua, Kach Hoyo Doiresh Zecharya Ben Akatzov. We saw this in the Mishnah, where he also would explain, come to conclusions based on the an extra vav. Tonu Rabbanan. The Tanaic source that you see here is a long source. It continues, you can see, well onto Omid Beis. It opens up with information that we are already familiar with, and as the source continues, we will have a new topic. So let's first read the beginning of the source. Tanu Rabbanan Shalosh Pe'amim Ha'amurim B'Parsha Im Nitma'a Nitma'a V'Nitma'a Lama. Why does the word Nitma'a appear three times? The Brisa presents the Psukim out of order, as they would appear in the Chumash, The first Nitmah is found in Bamidbar Perakeh Pasuk Chof Zayin. Nitmah is in Pasuk Yudalid, and V'nitmah is in Pasuk Chof Tes. Why three times? Echad Labal, Vechad Laboyel, Vechad Litruma. Divrei Rebbe Akiva. One is to tell me that the married woman who has relations with another man is prohibited to her husband. A second tells me that she is prohibited to the paramour. And the third Nitmah tells me that she is disqualified from eating truma. If, for example, she was the daughter of a Kohen, and she is going to go back to her father's house now that she's going to be divorced, she is not allowed to resume eating truma because of this illicit intimacy. That's Rabbi Akiva. Omar Rabbi Shmuel. Kal v'chomer. Rabbi Shmuel says, you don't need a pasuk to tell us, and now here is a very, we'll say, unanticipated or tricky point. Rabbi Shmuel comes to tell us, you don't need a pasuk to tell us that she is disqualified from the kahuna. The kahuna would mean from marrying a kohen. You might ask, why is Rabbi Shmuel making mention of her being rejected from the kahuna when Rabbi Akiva didn't make any mention of that? The Gemara will deal with that problem. Nevertheless, just to be able to set the stage, we're telling you ahead of time that Rabbi Shmuel deals with the psul, with her being rejected from the kahuna. And I should point out that you'll say, well, of course she should reject from the kahuna, the husband is going to divorce her. But make the assumption that when we speak about this woman, the sota, being rejected from kahuna, that includes the case where the husband dies. She'll also be rejected from kahuna, even though a standard almona is not prohibited from the kahuna, only from marrying a kohen gadol, but a regular kohen, an almona, would be able to marry. Not so in the case of a woman that was involved with illicit intimacy. So Rabbi Shmuel says that that is a point you can reach without a pasuk. Uma grusha shemuteres l'truma asura l'kahuna. Mind you, a divorcee, if she is a daughter of a kohen, she's divorced from her husband, a regular divorcee, she is allowed to go back to her father's house and resume eating truma as she was before she was married. So a grusha is muteris, is allowed to continue eating truma, but since she's divorced, she cannot now marry a kohen. Zusha sura betruma, this one, the sota, who is prohibited from eating truma, enodin shasura lukuna, certainly she'll be prohibited to the kuna, to marrying a kohen. You'll notice we have a period here. And the reason for that is because the continuation of this source is, as Rashi terms it, milsa ba'ape nafshe. It's a separate topic. Do take note of the arrow that you see to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. That will correspond to the arrow on Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, where the Gemara raises the question concerning Rabbi Shmuel's response to Rabbi Akiva. Apples and oranges. Rabbi Shmuel spoke about no need for a pasuk for kahuna when Rabbi Akiva was speaking about psukim that tell me about the truma. In the meantime, we have a topic heading for the Tanaic source from this point on the side under the Nosei. It reads Klolim, general rules, Bedine Tumo Vitara, Nilmad Misota. Here you have what you might call a certain irony, and that is that the rules of ritual defilement and purity, we call tuma and tara. The rules that govern that realm of halacha are derived from the story, from the parsha of Sota. Sota is does not involve ritual impurity, per se. Sota is a case of a woman, it's in the realm of capital offenses, a married woman having an adulterous relationship with another man. Why then does the realm of ritual purity derive its guidelines from this topic? They're, as I say, they're not comparable. So the answer is very simply because the Torah, in describing the Sotah, uses the word tumah. You might say it's a borrowed expression. Obviously, on a deeper level, when you analyze the significance of tumah and what have you, you will of course reveal that tumah is very appropriate and related to the topic of immorality. But on a let's say first glance basis, they're unrelated. One has to do with ritual purity, which requires oftentimes immersion in a mikveh, and all that applies, we can say, in the six orders of the Mishnah, to the last order, Seder Taharos. And here we're dealing with a topic that's relevant to Seder Noshim, possibly to elements of Seder Nezikin, which have to do with capital offenses. Nevertheless, since the Torah uses the word tumah, and it uses it quite frequently in the realm of Sotah, we use Sotah as a guideline for establishing certain rules concerning tumah and tahara. Now, that having been said, let's turn to our text. Ma Talmud Lomar v'hi nitma'ah v'hi lo nitma'ah. The source is quoting phrases from Pasuk Yud Dalet, which we quoted earlier. So on the side of your Gemara, you can see where we've written in Pasuk Yud Dalet. It reads, V'ovar olav ruach kina v'kinei is ishto v'hi nitma'a. The husband becomes suspicious of his wife, he warns her, and it says, and v'hi nitma'a, superficially, it sounds like, and she has been defiled. Been involved with definite intimacy. Over all of ruach kino v'kinei ishto v'hi lo nitma'a. Or, the spirit of suspicion overcomes the husband, and he warns his wife, and she is not defiled. So the pasuk, as it is, would seem to speak in definitive terms. And hence, we're asking here, what does this mean when it says she has been defiled? And the continuation, she has not been defiled. Im nitme'ah, if she's definitely been defiled, as the pasuk sounds, lama shoysa, why does she drink? Defiled means if she was definitely involved with prohibited intimacy, she's guilty, that's it. There's no need to drink. The drinking of the sota water is to reveal, is to establish or clarify a doubt. But you're saying, v'hi nitma'a, she has been defiled. There's no doubt. Im lo nitma'a, and if you're going to focus on the end of the pasuk, lama mashke, if she has definitely not been defiled, so why does she drink? Magid lo hakosuf, this pasuk is telling us, shahasofek asura, namely, we don't know whether this woman has been defiled or not. In order to resolve the doubt, she is brought to drink. And until the drinking takes place, she is prohibited. In other words, the drinking is to establish either her definite guilt or definite innocence. Until that point, she is prohibited. So in other words, Sotah represents a case of Sofek Tumah. And we see, how do we deal with a Sofek Tumah? We say it's Osir. We take a look at Rashi. Right under the Gemara text, Magid lo hakosuf shal al hasofek asura v'achi komar kro. And thusly you are to understand the pasuk. Isha zu shema nitma b'shema lo nitma. This woman, either she has been defiled or not. In other words, a doubt. The ka'om aloch, and the Torah tells it, yishukena, she is given sota water to drink. Levarer hasfeka, to clarify the doubt. V'ilo mashkelo asura. And if he doesn't give her to drink, she remains asur. And now we continue in the Gemara. Mikan atadon l'sheretz. From here, from the Sotah, we use Kal Vachomer logic to teach about sherets. Namely, that if there is a doubt whether you had contact with a dead sherets is a creeping creature, one of eight different ones itemized by the Torah that are capable in their death of communicating Tumah. So we're going to use the Sota as a platform for deriving laws concerning Tumas Sheretz. That when there is a doubt, did you touch the dead Sheretz or not, we will consider you Tomei. We use a double underline to highlight the expression Sota each time, so as you can focus the logical thinking. Uma Sota Shelo Osaba Shoigeg Kemezi Vinus Karotzon. Mind you, in the case of the Sota, we don't treat her if it's a mistake like we do if it's premeditated. Ones is a case of something that's beyond her control, as we would a case of a willing partner. That is, a woman is, generally speaking, if a man thought that he is having intimacy with his wife and it turned out to be someone else's wife, that does not make the woman prohibited to her husband. So you see that in the realm of Sota, there's this element of, we'll say, leniency, where we don't treat Shogeg, the mistake, like Mazid. Likewise, Onus is not treated the same way as Rotzon, something willing. And yet, also Bosofek Kevadai, we treat the state of doubt as certain. Just like in the case of certain adultery, the woman is usur to her husband. Even in the case of doubt, as we demonstrated from the psukim, nitmo imlo nitmo, the doubt is also treated as prohibition. Sheretz, on the other hand, she'osabo shogei kemezi vonis karotzon, contact with the dead sheretz will communicate tuma when there's definite contact. It doesn't matter what the circumstances were, whether it was shogei gremezid, whether it was ones or rotzon. Eino din shiase bo safek kivadai. All the more so, we're going to treat the state of doubt as a state of certainty. Namely, if you have safek tuma with regard to safek tumas sheretz, it will be definite tuma as far as we are concerned. In other words, we will rule that though there is a doubt, we will rule it as being tome. We're at the top of Omid Beis. Umimokom Shebos, and from the place you are coming, let's continue. In other words, we started with the Sota, and we continue with, we'll say, stage two of this analysis. Ma Sota Rishus Hayochid Af Sheretz Rishus Hayochid. Just like the case of Sota took place in a private domain, the whole point of Sota is going into seclusion. Going into seclusion is essentially a description or a phenomenon that takes place in a private domain. So too, that which we're concluding regarding the Sheretz, the issue of the Sofek Tumo, is only when you're in a private domain. So that the concept of Sofek Tumo being considered Tomei by Sheretz is only when the doubt arises in a private domain, not so in a public domain. Furthermore, Uma Sota Dover Shiesh Bodas Lishol, Av Sheretz Dover Shiesh Bodas Lishol. Just like in the case of Sota, where we are ruling that Sofek is viewed as Tomei, it involves a human being, a lady and a man. These are people that, in theory, you could ask them. There's a potential of asking them, did you do it or not? That's called Yeshbo Das Lishoel. Lishoel means to be asked. So too, in the case of Sheretz, that when we speak about Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid, it would involve a person who had contact or possible contact with the Sheretz. he might be in doubt now, but it involves an entity, a person, an element where you could have asked it, did you touch it or not? This would be in contrast to, let's say you are walking along in a private domain and you see an article, and next to the article is a dead sheretz, and you don't know whether the dead sheretz touched that article or not. There's no one to ask there. It's the question of the status of that article. Did it have contact with the sheretz or not? It's inanimate. There's no one to ask. So that the concept of safek tumah Birshus Hayochid Tomei has to be patterned after the case of the Sota. Just like in the case of Sota, it involves a human being, so too, in the case of the Sofei Tumas Sheretz in the Birshus Hayochid, it would have to involve either a person himself having become Tomei, concerning which we have the doubt, or an item that was carried by a person. That too, since it was conveyed by the individual, it's also considered Dover Shesh Bodas Lishol. Umikan Omru. Let me just read that last phrase again. Umas soita dover sheish bo das lishol av sheretz. So too in the case of sofek tuma of the sheretz, it has to involve dover sheish bo das lishol. Umikan Omru, from here we conclude the rule. Dover sheish bo das lishol brishus hayochet sveiko tomei brishus harabim sveiko tar. When it's an entity in that you could ask, in other words, a person or an item carried by a person, and there is an element of doubt that arose in a private domain, then we will rule Tomei. If the doubt arose in a public domain, it's not like Sota anymore, so it will be ruled as Tohar. V'she'ein bodas lish'ol, if the suffix concerns an inanimate item, then whether it be in a private domain, and certainly if it's in a public domain, sveiko tohar, then the element of doubt will be ruled, we will treat it as undefiled. At this point, we go back to the discussion between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva concerning specifically a sota, and her being prohibited from truma, from kahuna, and that is how we've entitled this piece of Gemara on the side under the Nosei heading, Sota Asura B'Truma V'Kahuna. And we make reference once again to the arrow indicating to go back to Omer Aleph, and you see where the corresponding arrow is. We pointed this out earlier. Rabbi Akiva had mentioned that the word Nitma appears three times, and one of the times is to tell me, and we'll say in addition to the prohibition that the Sota woman has to going back to her husband and being with the paramour, she is also prohibited from consuming Truma. Namely, if there had not been the illicit relations, this kind of woman would have been entitled to eat truma. We gave an illustration before. She's the daughter of a Kohen, and she's being divorced. She can go back to her father's house and resume eating truma. But now, because the issue of an illicit, adulterous relationship took place, she cannot. Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Akiva, "Oh, you don't need the pasuk to tell me about the prohibition that she has to marrying a Kohen. That you could figure out through Kal Vachomer." Ah, but Rabbi Akiva didn't make any mention about Kahuna. What is Rabbi Yishmael responding to Rabbi Akiva concerning something Rabbi Akiva made no mention of? Now the Gemara. Take note of the fact that we have here a long question taking you to the third line from the top of Chof Tes Omid Aleph. The Rabbi Yishmael. That's a way of saying, of addressing Rabbi Yishmael. Omer Rabbi Akiva, Truma Umahadule Ihu Kahuna. Rabbi Akiva made mention of a source for the Sota prohibition to Truma. And he, Rabbi Yishmael, responds with a comment concerning Kahuna. That's one problem. Vesu. The Rabbi Akiva Kuna Menole. As far as Rabbi Akiva himself is concerned, from where does he know that the Sota, because of her adulterous intimacy, she cannot marry a Kohen. V'chitema kahuna lo tzricha kra. You might say, that a sota is disqualified from the Kohen population, you don't need a pasuk for that. Continuing at the top of Daf Chof Tes, Sharei Asa Bo Sofek Zona Kezona. After all, the Torah considers a Sofek Zona, the doubt, like an actual Zona. Now, an actual Zona is a woman that is prohibited to the Kahuna. So if you have a Sota, a woman concerning whom we have a doubt whether she had intimacy, just having established earlier that even though it's a doubt, nevertheless, the Torah says she's prohibited. Prohibited just like a full-fledged Zona. And the Torah proscribes Kehanim from marrying Zonos. Well, if it's on that basis that you would say Rabbi Akiva doesn't need a verse, a pasuk for that, well then, Trumanami loti boy craw shere osa ba safek zona kazona. Then by the same token, Rabbi Akiva should not require a pasuk telling us about the sota's prohibition from truma, and yet he does have a pasuk for that. We look at the Rashi at the top. Ihachi l'truma nami lo tiboy kra. V'nelif mehu taimo gufei. Learn the sota, again a woman, concerning whom we have a doubt, did she have that illicit intimacy with the paramour or not? If you're going to tell me that she is prohibited from kuna based on a kal v'chomer, use that same reasoning to tell her she's prohibited from truma. Namely, don't use a pasuk for that. You can figure out through the kabbal through this logic. Sharei osa kosuv besoita sofek zona kivadai zona. The Torah, we explained this a little earlier. The pasuk said in nitma'a, in lo nitma'a, and we concluded that the Torah is describing to us our state of doubt. And we see that in the state of doubt, we say she's definitely usher until she drinks. So until she drinks, she's like a vadai zona, like a certain zona. Zona is one of the, is a woman who was involved with, just without getting into detail, but it's a woman who was involved with prohibited intimacy. Women like that, that were involved with prohibited intimacy, are classified by the halachic term zona. Don't misconstrue the word zona with the common use of the word zona, and they say in modern Hebrew, they're not related. Ubetruma hoyadinon, Rashi goes on, when it comes to truma, we know the zona asura. A woman who's classified as zona, a woman who had illicit intimacy, even though she's the daughter of a Kohen, she cannot eat truma. Dichtiv kisya leish zor, kiti boel lezor etzla. The word kisya leish zor means one who had intimacy. The word tia is an interesting word in this context. We know that since we're speaking within Rabbi Akiva, Rashi explains this in some greater detail, which we're not going to get into now. But according to Rabbi Akiva, the word tia means intimacy. According to others, it's a word referring to marriage taking hold. But here it means kiti alizor, kiti boyal alizor. She has intimacy with an outsider. And I wouldn't mean outsider. Lizar etzlo, someone who's forbidden to her. He betruma sakoshim lo tocheil. She cannot eat truma. Vein lecha psul godol mizen. There's no greater psul. When she's a married woman and has intimacy with someone else, that outsider is the extreme, isur eshesish, an extremely prohibited type of relationship. So let's go back to our Gemara. In the meantime, we were asking the question, where would Rabbi Akiva learn that the sota is prohibited henceforth from ever marrying a Kohen? Ela le Rabbi Akiva arbo'o kroi ksivi. Rabbi Akiva, who darshins the Vav, as we've seen in the Mishnah, we established that in our earlier discussion, he learns that the Vav is a letter that enables you to include additional points. So, as a result of that, you have the word Nitme'ah twice, and together with the word Nitme'ah, you have a Vav. It really says V'nitme'ah. That enables Rabbi Kiva 4 points. Ela Rabbi Kiva arbo akroik, sibi chad lebal, chad leboil, v'chad lekuhuna, v'chad letruma. One tells me about the sota being prohibited to her husband, being prohibited to the paramour. She cannot marry into the kuhuna, and she cannot resume eating truma. V'Rabbi Yishmael, tlosa kroi sibi. According to Rabbi Yishmael, though, there are 3 psukim that he has available for drushes. Chad lebal, v'chad leboyel, v'chad letruma. U'kehuna asya b'kal v'chomer. And the prohibition of kehuna, and this is what we saw in the source. It was Rabbi Shmuel responding to Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said, well, for kehuna, you need a pasuk. You have a pasuk telling me about her prohibition. It's a scriptural reference. When I say a pasuk, you understand you're referring to a vav even. That's part of the scripture. And Rabbi Yishmael says to Rabbi Akiva, he says, oh, as far as kahuna is concerned, that you can derive through kal v'chomer. We take a look at the Rashi across from here. Ukuna asim kal v'chomer v'lo dorish vavi. Rabbi Shmuel does not darshan the Vav. So according to Rabbi Kiva, we said there were 4 psukim. So in effect, you had the word nitma appearing 3 times, and one of those 3 times you have a Vav attached to the word. So you have nitma, nitma, and vinitma. That vinitma accounts for 2 drushes. Rabbi Yishmael has only 3 drushes available in terms of the scripture because he doesn't pay attention to the Vav as a basis for adding more information. The Gemara will ask, if we just learned the Rashi for, we'll say, for introductory purposes. Notice Rashi continues, Uparchinon, we will be asking the Rabbi Shmuel, keeping the low Dorish Vavi, since he doesn't darshan the Vav, he has 3 psukim then. Mimai dekra l'truma midrash, ukun asi b'kal b'chomer, v'yosu kulhu. Who says that the pasuk is for truma, and that kahuna is the item derived through kal v'chomer? Dilma kra l'kuhuna asa. Maybe the vinitma word is there to tell me about her prohibition to marrying a kohen. The cave under loksiv truma lehedya. Since the word truma doesn't appear explicitly, ano amina truma lo isra boy lisura. I would say that the sota is not prohibited from truma. Ela kuhuna disra boy de chamira mine. All that she is prohibited from is marrying a kohen, which is a more serious matter. Utruma sharia, and her ability to eat truma remains intact. She can continue eating truma. So the question then is how do we know to conclude things the way we do according to Rabbi Yishmael? And now the Gemara. The Gemara now raises this question. We learn it in the text. V'Rabbi Yishmael. Who says that that the pasuk teaches me the prohibition of the sota from truma, and that her prohibition to kahuna will follow through kal v'chomer logic, meaning that if she's prohibited from truma, then certainly she'll be prohibited regarding the marriage, her marriage to a kohen, which is viewed as a more serious matter. Likuna, maybe the purpose of the extra nitma'ah is to tell me that she is prohibited not only to baal and boil, but to marrying a kohen. Utruma sharia, and she's allowed, if she's the daughter of a kohen, she's allowed to resume the eating of truma. Omar loch, so Rabbi Shmuel would answer you, mistabra dumya de baal uboel. It's most likely that the third item that's going to be darshan from Vinitma is an item, is an entity, is an element that is similar to the Baal and Boel. Ma Baal u Boel mechayim, just like the prohibition to the husband and the prohibition to the paramour are prohibitions when they are alive. We're telling you that the lady, the sota, cannot be with her husband. He's alive, obviously. Or that the sota cannot marry the paramour. Obviously, he is alive. Af truma nami mechayim. So too, the prohibition concerning truma is a prohibition while she is alive. Lafuke kahuna. With the exception of the issue of kahuna, de le'achar misa, the manifestation of her prohibition to kahuna is something that will be manifest only after her husband dies. Only after her husband dies can we speak about her being prohibited to a kohen. If the husband is still alive, so it's obvious that she can't marry a Kohen if he hasn't divorced her, so she's still considered an Eishes Ish. And if he's divorced her, so she's prohibited to Kohen anyway because she would be a Grusha. So that the new Isur that's revealed by the extra word Nitma'ah is an Isur to the Kuna that becomes manifest only after someone died, namely the husband died. Therefore, it's the third Nitma'ah, after the two of them are used to establish Isur of Baal and Boel, the third one would also have to be something similar in that sense, that it's an Isur, it's a prohibition that doesn't depend on someone's death. The Rabbi Akiva, who needed a Pasuk to derive the prohibition to kahuna for that the sota is prohibited to the kahuna, dumya de baal u boel les lay. He doesn't have that logic that the third or the additional isor is necessarily compared to baal and boel. He doesn't hold from that logic. And if you don't hold from that logic, then without the pasuk, I wouldn't necessarily know. I wouldn't be able to determine the prohibition to the truma, and then figure out prohibition to kuna. Vinami islay, and even if you say that Rabbi Akiva does hold from the Baal Boel comparison, through which we derive a third conclusion. And if you just follow that line of thinking, maybe Rabbi Akiva holds that the third drosha is for something like Baal and Boel. And that would say, oh, the third drosha is for Truma. Then you'll ask, well then, Kuna, couldn't I figure it out through a Kal V'chomer? Why do I need a fourth pasuk? So the Gemara explains, Milso de'asya b'Kal V'chomer torach v'kosav lo kra. This is something you find throughout the Shas, that points or conclusions that could be derived through Kal V'chomer, at times the Torah writes it anyway. And in this case, after writing three expressions for Drosha, Nitma, and Vinitma, Rabbi Akiva says, the Vav is there to teach me the Kohuna prohibition anyway, even though I could have figured it out through Kal V'chomer. At this point, we have a long point marking. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, and it reads as follows: Shnei Mekoros Ledovar Shiyesh Bo Das Lishoil. We established that when you have a Sofek Tuma, we will rule that it is prohibited using the case of the Sota as our archetype for Sofek Tuma being prohibited. And we added that if you're comparing to Sota, since you're comparing to Sota, it would have to be something that is Das Lishol. Here we're going to see a totally new source of information concerning that topic. After this long point, the Gemara will will mention that, in fact, I need to have two sources regarding this topic. And that's what we were alluding to in our introduction under the Nosei heading, two sources for this concept of Dover Sheish Bo Das Lishon. Only then will we rule that Safek is Tomei. The Gemara. Omar Rav Gidol Omar Rav. Dover Sheish Bo Das Lishol V'ein Bo Das Lishol Mehai Kro Nafka. That a doubt concerning Tumah will be ruled as Tomei, that's true only if you're dealing with Das Lishol. A human being is involved in the Safek. If it's Ein Bo Das Lishol, it will be ruled, the Safek will be ruled as Tohar. And that is learned from the following verse. Vabosar asher yiga b'chol tome lo yochal. Now bosar, meat. Meat is inanimate. Anything that's like that, that's meat. Ein bo das lishol, that touches tuma, so it becomes prohibited. For our purposes, it means tuma is imparted. Vadai tomei hu delo yochal, ha safek tomei v'safek tor yochal. From this pasuk, I would say that only if it was had definite contact with a source of defilement, then since you're dealing with sacrificial meat in this particular context, sacrificial meat is sensitive to tuma, only then will we deem it as being prohibited. But if there's a doubt, the Torah would say you could eat it. There's no restriction. It's not tomei. Well, Amos Seifa, keep reading the pasuk. And what does it say in the continuation? V'habasar kol tahor yochal basar. The pasuk here is referring to a person. Because it says yochal, eat. Anyone who's tahor, so he can eat the meat. Oh, who can eat the meat? Vadai tohor hu deyochal basar. Someone who is definitely undefiled, someone who is definitely ritually pure, he can eat meat. He can eat the sacrificial meat. Ha safek tomei safek tohor lo yochal. Ah, but if there's a doubt, he cannot eat it. So you notice the squiggle underlines, each squiggle underline highlights the point of inference. So the first inference was ha safek tomei safek tor yochal. The second inference was ha safek tomei safek tor lo yochal. That would be contradictory. El olav shma mino. How must we conclude the matter? Kan sheish bo das lishol. When we rule that safek is tomei, that's because you're involved with a das lishol, a human being, and kan. The ruling of Safek Tor She'ein Bo Das Lishol. Well, now all of that we already learned that from patterning the rules of Safek Tuma to the case of Sota, and now you're introducing this new source, the Itzdrich. In fact, I need both. The Itzdrich to Rav Gidol Amarav, the Itzdrich leMigmar miSota. I need both. I need Rav Gidol Amarav, which was the most recent source. You see that his name had been underlined a number of lines above, and I need the Sota source as well. The word lemigmar means to learn from the case of Sota. De'i mida Rav, had I had just this most recent source, have amino, I would have thought bein birshus hayochid ubein birshus harabim, that when it comes to a matter of safek tuma, the same standard will apply whether it's in a private domain or a public domain, which we know from the case of Sota that's not so. Therefore, it's derech lemigmar misota. Therefore, I need the Sota source to make that distinction, that the whole approach of Safek Tuma being ruled as Tomei, where a doubt is ruled as definite defilement, that's only in a private domain. Safek Tuma Tomei, only in a Rishus HaYochid, as is the case of the Sota. Of course, as we explained earlier, the Sota was by definition a matter of doubt that rises in a place of seclusion. That's a private domain. The Imi Sota, and I had I just had the topic of Sota as my basis, Have amino, I would have thought ad deiko das nogea umagia. In the case of sota, we understand there's a doubt whether defilement took place. Who are the parties in the doubt? There's his and hers, isn't there? There's the man and the woman. There's the married woman and the paramour. The two elements. So that I would have thought that that had I had sota, I would say that the concept of a sofek tuma b'rishus hayochid is tome. That's only when both elements, the source of the tuma and the receiver of the tuma, are both human beings. Then we say that's not so. The sofek tuma will be considered tome even if the only if one is das lishol. Tzricha. Therefore, I need Rav Gidol Amarav for that purpose. Let's look at Rashi on the first line under the Gemara text. Das nogeo magia. Had I had just sota as my source of this information, b'metame v'nitma, the source of the tuma and the receiver of the tuma would have to both be human beings. Ki sota. Just like the cases of the Yesh Bo Das V'Yesh Das Baboel Hametamo, she, the woman, being the, we'll call the receiver of the Tuma, and the Boel, the paramour, being the source of the Tuma. Komashmon Rav Gidol, the Nafka, Nafka means he learns out Mikol Tohar from the Pasuk Kol Tohar Yochal Bosar, and we learn there Ha Safek, if there is, we said there that if there's a matter of doubt, Lo Yochal, there should be no eating. Kevon diesh bo das bozeshenitmo avo bametame lo bo inon das. It's enough over there where the receiver of the defilement means the person where we don't know did he become tame or not. It's enough that the element of doubt is in one party to establish that a sofek tuma will be viewed as tame. You don't need to have the das lishol element, the we'll call it the human element in both ends, at both ends, the source of the tuma and the receiver of the tuma. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.